Well, just looking at the data out the US last week, some of the key points are that we still got stronger demand than expected in the US, and it showed there in March retail sales. They were a lot stronger than expected and have been the last month or so. So March retail sales were expected to be up 0.4% month on month. They came in at 0.7%. And the previous month, which was already pretty strong at plus 0.6%, was revised up to plus 0.9%. So yeah, we still got the consumer really supporting US growth. Just to put that in context too, it wasn't just one-offs. Core retail sales were even stronger. So core retail sales were up 1.1% month on month. They were expected to be up 0.5%. And the previous month was neatly doubled from plus 0.3% to 0.6%. Some of the other data points, too, were just still very, very firm in the US. Key one, the labour market, very tight with initial jobless claims, holding at 212,000 for the most recent week. And yeah, if we're getting readings around that for initial jobless claims, come the beginning of May, it's highly likely that we're going to see another non-farm payrolls around the 300,000 mark, or if not a little bit higher. And that means that the US unemployment rate is still staying down low, and there's still obviously pressure to keep average hourly earnings very much north of 4% year on year, which is too high from the Fed's point of view. If there are any softer elements in the data last week, they were just rebounds, really, or they're not really rebounds, they're givebacks after very strong reports on housing. If we draw a line through almost every housing indicator in the United States, they've been lifting quite strongly since the third quarter of last year. We get some volatility around that, and so we saw it with building permits for the month of March in the US. They were up 2.3% going back to February. They gave back that and a bit more, down 4.3% for the most recent reading. Similarly so for housing starts. Housing starts were up 12.7% month on month on revision going back to February. They came down by 14.7%. So I suppose if you put the 2 months together, you're sort of flatlining. March existing home sales didn't give back anywhere near as much. So existing home sales, which were up 9.5% month on month going back to February, came down only 4.3%. So they didn't give everything back through the month of March. And the National Association of Home Builders Index, which lifted going back to March above 50 for the first time in many months at 51, held at 51 for the month of April. So still on balance, reasonably good as far as housing is concerned. This week in the US, we get a number of indicators that the market will be watching. But I think the key ones are ones like we've got the advance reading of Q1 GDP coming out on Thursday. And at this stage, it's still looking pretty strong. Around 2.5% annualized growth the market's expecting. It was 3.4% going back the quarter before. But typically, Q1s tend to be the weakest quarter for GDP growth. So if there were any signs that the US was anywhere near recession, and it's far from that in the way the data's been trending, this should be the quarter where it shows through. It's not going to show it. It's basically Q1 GDP, at least 2.5% annualized growth, which is actually quite robust for a Q1 reading, and suggests that the US economy has still got quite a bit of steam in it. We expect to see that too in some of the later readings that come out during the week. And amongst those, we've got March personal income, March personal spending. They're likely to be up about 0.5%, 0.6% month on month respectively. And they've been running, averaging around that sort of level for the last few months. So this is the real strength in the US. It's got a lot of support from household spending. We also get March pending home sales, forward-looking indicator. This one has stayed pretty strong. Going back to February, it was up 1.6% month on month. It's expected to be up another 0.9% when we get the reading this week, as well as March new home sales, which are expected to be up about 0.9%. So all told, the data fairly strong. Much of the focus, though, will be on anything relating to inflation. And we do get the March core personal consumption expenditure deflator coming out. That comes out on Friday. And it's expected to be 0.3% month on month. It was 0.3% month on month going back to February. Sure, 0.3% month on month will actually bring down the annual rate of inflation to 2.6% year on year from 2.8%. But the problem is if we keep running 0.3s, which looks highly likely over the next few months, we're going to be migrating up through 3 again. In fact, you know, if you start annualising 0.3 and it persists at that, you're going to mid-3s by the time you go too much further. So that one's still holding pretty sticky and pretty high. And one of those factors which is causing a lot of the Fed governors now and presidents when they speak, if they're talking about a rate cut at all in the US, they're down to 1 by the end of the year, and it's certainly been pushed out well beyond the middle of the year. Moving to China, the data reports out of, we had the GDP report, and that showed growth lifting a little to 5.3% from 5.2%. I think there was a general sort of feeling that, this is fairly much a fudged figure, because when we looked at most of the monthly indicators that came out, one or two of them were slightly better. So, for example, March fixed asset investment spending was up 4.5% year-on-year after being at 4.2% year-on-year the month before. We had March industrial production, which came back to 4.5% year-on-year from 7% going back the month before. And March retail sales were down to 3.1% year-on-year from 5.5%. So none of those are consistent with that lift that ran through GDP. In fact, they all look relatively soft. The other ones that look soft, we had March house prices. Now, March house prices, back in February, house prices across China were down 1.4% year-on-year. That accelerated to minus 2.2% year-on-year down for the month of March. So it still appears as if, despite this anomalous GDP read, which looks highly suspicious, that most of the data coming out of China is still consistent with an economy which is struggling to gain momentum. This week, the only thing we have in China really, we've got a lot of holidays towards the end of the week, but on Monday we've got the People's Bank of China, and they expect to leave their interest rates unchanged at 3.95%, the one-year lending rate from 3.95% the month before. Moving to Australia, we had the labour force report came out last week, and yes, there was a fall in total employment, but only 6,600. The month before was revised upwards. It was already up 116,500, got revised up to 117,600. Within that employment fall too, it's interesting that full-time employment was actually up 27,900, so it's mostly part-timers who came off through the course of the month. The participation rate came back a touch to 66.6% from 66.7%, and the unemployment rate only edged up slightly to 3.8% from 3.7%. The comments from the Australian statistician were that the labour market is still very tight, and it's certainly tighter than the Reserve Bank was expecting at this point. We'd like to see some adjustments that have to run through RBA forecasts when they bring out their monetary policy statement, which is the same time as the next interest rate setting meeting, and that's the first Tuesday in May. So once we get to, which is May the 7th, once we get to that, one thing that has to change is that they've got to upwardly adjust some of their labour force forecasts, and with it probably their wage forecasts, and of course that in turn then puts pressure on their 12-month out inflation forecast, regardless of what the CPI shows this week. So, it was a pretty tight labour market report, and just confirms that there's need for the Reserve Bank to look at its forecasts when it gets through to the monetary policy statement in early May. This week, we get, the highlight is obviously the CPI comes out on Wednesday. It's for the first quarter. We also get the March monthly CPI. The quarterly CPI, the market consensus is plus 0.8% quarter on quarter. That would bring the annual inflation rates back from 4.1% to 3.4%. But, you know, that's about as good as it gets, because beyond here, we can already identify some pressures which are going to push prices somewhat higher over the next quarter or two. Trim mean, the underlying's probably not quite as good. They're going to be up 0.9% quarter on quarter, we think, both trim mean, weighted median. That'll bring their annual rates back from 4.4% respectively to around 4 or 3.9%, so obviously still relatively high for those ones. We'll be dissecting, of course, the CPI to see what pressures there are from domestically influenced price increases. They were running, going back a quarter ago, at over 5% year on year, so they will need to come back a lot if we can take any pressure off the Reserve Bank. And also service prices, which are running nearer to 4% year on year. The March monthly CPI, we're expecting that one to be probably unchanged. It's been sitting there at 3.4%. We're going through a similar phase to what the US went through going back about 8 or 9 months ago. Back then, their inflation rate came down a long way, then got stuck and started to go back up again. We look as if we're going through exactly that same process at the moment, and so that will probably be confirmed by the March CPI when that comes out on Wednesday too. Beyond that, there's some other price indicators. We get export prices for Q1. If anything, they've come down a little bit for the first quarter. They were up 5.6% going back the quarter before. Import prices, we're up around 0.1% after a pretty hefty 1.1% increase going back the month before. We'll also get the Q1 producer price index. The producer price index was already pretty elevated going back to Q4 last year, when it was up by 0.9%, 4.1% year on year. Some of the other factors, we've also had some comments coming out of the Treasurer's visit when he's been overseas to the IMF meetings in Washington. And what's coming out of those meetings relates to what they may be thinking about in the budget, when the budget's brought down on May 12. Now, the budget already starts as a pretty expansionary document, because we've got those altered stage three tax cuts, which are already going to come into play from July the 1st. So, the budget starts with a pretty expansionary bias. And it appears as if some of the commentary that's coming through is they're talking about making this budget one about national security. And what do they mean by national security? Going to be spending a lot more, and spending a lot more in places like defence, which always comes pretty expensively, and also on props, choosing winners in the manufacturing sector to make sure that we manufacture more stuff here a lot more expensively than we could have bought it from overseas. This is going to be problematic. This budget doesn't look particularly friendly towards getting inflation down. So waiting to see whether more comments come through. But it does appear as if the RBA is increasingly on its own in its fight to get inflation down. And of course, this tends to militate towards caution on when they can possibly bring interest rates down. So we're not only watching the data relating to that, but we're watching developments and what the leaks that come out ahead of the budget and the budget itself. Moving to Europe, and last week we had some industrial production data. It was relatively firm, up 0.8%, admittedly after being down 3% the month before. European trade seems to be doing very well. So their trade neatly doubled over the course of February. It went from 11.6 billion euro surplus to 23.6 billion euro surplus. So it appears as if there's some demand around the world for all those exports which Europe does so well. So that's helping to just underpin the economy a bit. And it appears to have been there in ZEW economic sentiment. We had that economic sentiment survey came out for the month of April. And yeah, this has been strengthened a lot over the last couple of months. Last month, it got up from a near flat reading to plus 33.5. So that suggests that optimists are starting to come out the woodwork when you get that sort of leap. We thought it might go up a bit further to 37.2. It went up to 43.9. Now, that's a strong reading, a key lead indicator. And suggests, if anything, Europe's sort of turned the corner, which militates against everything you hear in terms of commentaries. But obviously that's relatively firm. This week we may be able to get some confirmation of whether this has actually happened or not. We get April consumer confidence coming out. There's some expectation that the perpetually pessimistic consumers, when they reply to this survey, may be a little bit less pessimistic, so they're expecting it to go to minus 14 from minus 14.9. And we also get their manufacturing and services sector PMIs coming out. The manufacturing PMI in Europe has been very, very soft. It's been in the mid-40s, and so that's consistent with a lot of weakness running through the goods producing sector. It was at 46.1 in March, expected to lift perhaps to 46.5 for April. And the services sector PMI, which was at 51.5, a lot better, and suggesting that that at least is in some sort of expansion, that that might lift a little bit to 51.8. So all told around the world, out of the IMF meetings, every single treasurer around the world was talking gloom, and that's because most of them have got an awful lot of pressure on their budgets to spend more, even though they know that's going to go exactly against what their central banks are trying to do in terms of getting inflation down. The data reports in the US are very much heading in favor of inflation staying higher for longer, and starting to push any hope of rate cuts much further out. The same thing's happening here. And so last week, the tightness running through the labour market pushes the any hope of an interest rate cut out to very late this year or into 2025. And we're really watching this next fortnight or so with a lot of key developments to see whether the expectation gets pushed firmly out into 2025 and how far beyond that it might get pushed. But it's very much a case of sort of the hopes of interest rate cuts are receding. And, of course, you can see that in the way in which bond markets have largely reacted over the course of the last week or two, where they're building in higher rates for longer.